for this morning. God, we thank you for being here in our presence. God, we thank you for welcoming us into yours. Lord, I pray that you would draw us into your word in these next few moments. God, that you would help us to find truth. God, that you would show up in a real way, speak to each of our minds and hearts. God, we pray that you wouldn't remove any distractions or anything else that might be taking our mind off of you. And God, I pray that we would just hear a word from you, Lord, that would change the way that we live, change the way that we see the world, just affect us in a real way so that when we leave this place this morning, we're at least a little different than when we walked in. God, we thank you for this time of year. We thank you for the whole point, your son Jesus coming down to save us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to find peace in the midst of all the busyness going on around us during this season. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. The disappearance of Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. Russian insurgency into the Ukraine. Ebola, ISIS, midterm elections, the riots in Ferguson. It's been a peaceful year, hasn't it? 2014 might be remembered like a lot of the last several years have been, one full of different kinds of strife and problems in our world around us. What about in your world? Maybe you come home every day with your back hurting after working another 12-hour shift. Maybe you're growing more and more distant from your spouse or from your family, feeling like your children are out of control, wondering if you're ever going to find somebody to spend the rest of your life with, going from doctor appointment to trying to find a solution to that problem that keeps bothering you or someone that you care deeply for, consistently forgetting which day of the week it is because you are so busy, struggling to keep your grades up so that you can get into that college you want to get into when you graduate, learning a new normal in the absence of a deceased loved one, screening your phone calls, hoping that it's not another bill collector with that bill that you have due. Maybe it hasn't been a peaceful year for you either. There are a lot of reasons in our world, and we don't really need an excuse, but the world gives us a lot of excuses to be in a state of unrest, in a state where peace is absent. In our world today, peace is something that we distantly remember. It's something that we hope for, but something that we rarely experience. We can remember those times of peace fondly, right? We can look back and you can look back nostalgically at those peaceful moments that you've had in your life, especially during the Christmas season when it seemed like everything was right and you were with your family. And you can look forward hoping that someday peace will return. But often in the here and the now, peace is fleeting. Peace comes and goes very quickly, and when it is, we don't really always have the time to slow down and enjoy that peaceful moment. Peace is something we often look back on, look forward to, but rarely experience in the present moment. But it's Christmas time again, right? And you know the refrain that goes in several Christmas carols? The refrain we find in Scripture, the very one we're going to look at this morning? Peace on earth. Right? Jesus came announcing that as a reality, or should I say, angels came announcing that as a reality before Jesus would come onto the earth, as if that would fix everything. It would bring peace to everybody that trusted in the Lord. Yet here we are 2,000 years later, and we often find ourselves, as I said, in a state of anything but peace. No doubt many, if not most of you, have felt the crushing weight of busyness and chaos in your world this year. Where you get to that point where you just want to throw everything down, you just want to give up for a second, wave the white flag, just get away for a moment and say enough, right? I've had enough. I just want to be at rest. I want to get away from this. I want to get out from underneath a job that's killing me, or a family situation that's driving me crazy, or some other kind of chaotic moment. I just want to turn off the news and never watch it again. And we get to that point where it's like, enough. Peace seems fleeting in a time of year when we talk about peace on earth. Let's go ahead and read that passage that I'm referring to. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And in that same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, among those with whom he is pleased. Peace certainly seems fleeting in 2014, but I'm sure that it was not that different than the people to whom these angels addressed that night, that first Christmas Eve, if you would, when they said peace on earth, or peace to the men in whom God is well pleased. What about peace for Jerusalem, the area? They were under Roman occupation. They were traveling, Joseph and Mary were, because the people, the Jewish people, were being forced to be counted by their Roman oppressors, so that who knows what they would do with that information. I don't know about you, but if the government ever wanted to get us all together and make us go to our hometown so that we could be counted, that would be something that would make me a little nervous or unpeaceful. And so Joseph and Mary and all of Jerusalem, all of the Jews in that area, I should say, are going through that state of unpeace or lack of peace. As we talked about last week, they were waiting on the Messiah for centuries. They have been waiting on a new word, a fresh word from God, and certainly there was a lack of peace for that. And then, to top it off, we learn from later on in the Gospels that the people who are supposed to be their leaders, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, they seem to be for lack of a better terminology, a bunch of self-righteous hypocrites who are only interested in lining their own pockets and only interested in giving themselves more power, yet these are the individuals who are leading them through this peaceless time. But an angel comes and says, peace on earth. What about Joseph and Mary in particular? How about traveling across a desert while you're 9 months pregnant? How does that sound for a peaceful situation? For me, it was peaceless enough going to the hospital before Corbin was born, and we had an induction, is that the word? Cheryl was induced. We had that waiting on us when we got there, so it was planned, and so she wasn't in the midst of delivery while we were driving, but still, even though it was a scheduled delivery, I still felt a lack of peace going to the hospital that night. And I can imagine Joseph and Mary felt a much higher degree of a lack of peace traveling through the desert in that situation. Being pregnant yet unwed in their culture, I'm certain caused a lack of peace. There was a fear in that day that a child might not even make it. A lot of times in those days, they wouldn't even name a child until it had lived for several months because they weren't for sure if that child was going to survive long enough to be able to reach into the rest of life, into childhood and eventually into adulthood. Feeling the pressure of being new parents, if you're a parent, you've been there before, and knowing that the best you could do for the Savior of the world that an angel had told you was going to be born by you or by your loved one, your eventual spouse, Joseph or Mary, depending on which perspective you look at it from, being told that you were going to bring into the world the Christ, the Messiah, the one who was going to put everything right. Now, how's that for pressure, okay? I'm going to be Jesus's mom. I'm going to be Jesus's dad. That's a little bit of a high stakes kind of gig, isn't it? And so maybe they felt a little bit of a lack of peace from that. And then combine that with knowing that the best that they could do for this Savior of the world was to see him to be born in a barn and placed in a feeding trough. How's that for peaceful? We often paint that setting very peacefully. Well, there's a peaceful presentation of it right here, the background that I chose to use for this sermon series. But in reality, peace was probably the last thing on their mind. In our world, in our area, it's cool during this time of year, hopefully. I mean, it's not cold right now, but it has been. During the Christmas season, we think about snow, we think about white Christmases and all of that. We don't really know when Jesus was born. It might have been in September. That's what most historians probably tell us. And so it might not have been as cool as it was. And so it might have even been a little warm, or it was in the desert, so it might have been warm during the day and then cool at night. But it wasn't this nice little quaint setting where they were in a house together and there was a chimney and there was smoke puffing out the top of it. No, they were in a barn. There were livestock surrounding them. and the smells and the sounds and the sights that go with being around livestock. I know this is rural Texas. I know you know what I'm talking about. Flies buzzing around, going from animal to animal, and all the sorts of things that go with that. And the only place they could find to lay the Savior of the world is in a manger. That's how we take it in our terminology and make it seem at least a little bit better, but really, a feeding trough. Peace was probably not the first thing on their mind. But what about the shepherds? The main character in this passage that we just read. What about their peace? They were probably considered uneducated, probably considered some of the lowest class individuals around because of their job and what they did. They had to stay up through the night or at least take turns through the night because there might be a predator that would come through and try to kill their sheep. Or even worse than that, they were probably worrying about someone attacking themselves, attacking their group so that they could steal the sheep. It was basically sitting out in the countryside with a bunch of money. That's what we could count it with today because that was the currency of the day. Most importantly, that now they had money currency, but what really mattered is the stuff you had, especially when it came to livestock. And so here they were sitting out in the middle of the night where there wasn't any light, you know, unless they had a lamp or the moon was really bright that night. And they were out there in the middle of the night in pitch black darkness, worrying that either an animal or someone might come and get them and take that which they were there to protect. Being stuck out in the wilderness, basically all alone. Now, there were probably a few of them out there, but as far as they were concerned, watching over the different parts of the flock, sitting out there all by themselves. Peace on earth, goodwill to men, the angel tells us. So how do we find peace in this situation? How do we find peace in our situation? Jesus comes, or God comes through the angel and says basically this: don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. I have good news. Jesus is coming. The difference between what we call peace and what the Bible refers to as peace is two very starkly different things. When we think of peace, we think of the absence of war, right? We think of the answer that every beauty queen is supposed to give when they have that answer. What do you want the most in the world? World peace, right? That's what I want. I don't want anybody to fight anymore. I want there to be the absence of battle, the absence of strife. And even though that's part of peace, the Hebrew, the Jewish word for peace, shalom, meant more along the ideas of a wholeness, a completeness. If shalom were a song, it would be one in which every single note was in perfect harmony. It's one where everything is right, where you look around and maybe you've had those moments in your life where you look around and everything around you seems at peace, seems right. You know, at Christmas time, you have your whole family together and everyone seems to be happy and celebrating. Those moments might be rare and fleeting, but perhaps you've experienced them. And in that moment, we find that, moment, that peaceful moment where it just comes over you. Maybe it's when you complete a job. Maybe if you work in a line of work where you have jobs that you do, or you do something at home, you like to build something with your hands, whatever it is, and you complete it and you just stand back for a second, think, man, I did a good job. I completed a task and I did it well. And that moment that comes over you when you've done something and you've done it well. Maybe that the so-and-sos felt that way yesterday, right after the Christmas tea. You know, all the stuff that we've been going through and the busyness that we've been doing to do this right, and then it went off, and it went off greatly. There's that sense of wholeness, of this is complete, this went well, this is a peaceful moment. For me, when I think of peace, I think of a couple of things. I think of my granddad's land out in the middle of West Texas, in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by trees. And when I say trees, I mean mesquites about this tall and maybe some cedars to go along with it. And then cotton everywhere else out in that area. And sitting out in the middle of this field, he had this hill that was kind of in the middle of his land. And my granddad had a lot of land. And so I would sometimes go out onto the top of this hill. There was a deer stand that sat beside it because you could see all the way around. And it's very flat out there. If you've been out there, you know, and this is one of the highest points in the county, and so you're able to see all the way around. There's no city lights or anything because we're out in the middle of the country, but you can see all the different homesteads around the area. But more importantly than that, than looking down and around, you can look up. To me, there's nothing better, especially this time of year, than to go outside under a big Texas sky where it's a new moon, there's no moon, maybe it hasn't risen yet, The sky is painted with millions and billions of stars across the sky, and it's a cool, crisp night. You know, one of those where it's not so cold it's uncomfortable, but it's cold enough to where you breathe and you see fog come out of your mouth or steam come out of your mouth. One of those nights. That's peace for me, to be able to stare into that expanse and just think all the things that you think when you look into the vastness of space and the amazingness of who God is and what God has done in the universe around us. That's peace. For me, maybe after a trying time in my life or a stressful time, to come home and to be with Cheryl and Corbin, and in those few moments now, he's 2.5 years old, those few moments when he's quiet and he'll sit in your lap and he'll just, maybe when he's asleep, you know, maybe that's the only moment when he's at peace and you could just sit and watch him sleep. He did that Friday. He passed out on the couch and I was just able to sit and watch him. That's my day off, my day home with him. And those are those few moments of peace when everything seems right with the world. It's whole. It's complete. In Jesus, every chaotic moment has the potential for peace. Every chaotic moment has the potential for peace. And so all of Jerusalem, Joseph and Mary and the shepherds, as they were looking around them in this chaotic time, an angel, God's voice, entered their world and said, "Don't be afraid. I have good news. Jesus is coming." And in our world today, chaos is surrounding us, strife is surrounding us, even from a very worldly understanding of the word peace. It is absent in our world. We do not experience it. We do not see it if we turn on the television. And a lot of times we certainly don't even find it in our own lives. Yet the angel, or should I say the voice of God, still speaks through the word to us today. Don't be afraid. I have good news. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And in Jesus, every chaotic moment has the potential for peace. I love Christmas carols, Christmas songs. And when I say Christmas songs, I mean the really good ones, not the ones that you hear all the time over and over again. Those are good in and of themselves. But what I really fall in love with when it comes to the Christmas season is those Christmas songs or carols that speak true depths of theology and this amazing truth. And one of my favorite of those is "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." Now, there's a story that comes with that carol. A very cool story that I'm going to tell you a little bit about. The guy who wrote the poem on which the song is based is named Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And there's two things you need to know about Longfellow. There's a lot of stuff you can know about Longfellow. But two things you need to know that happened to him in the year of 1861, a few years before he wrote the song. In April, the first shots of the Civil War were fired. He was an American. And in July, Fanny, Longfellow's wife, died in a kind of horrific way. She was badly burned after trying to, with a candle, try to preserve some locks of hair of her children. She caught herself on fire. He tried to put her out, ended up scarring himself, which is why if you ever look him up online, you see a picture of him, he'll have a beard because he scarred his face so badly. He was so badly injured in trying to save her that he wasn't even able to attend her funeral. And so this is the situation in which we find the guy who wrote this song. That first Christmas after his wife's death, he wrote in a journal, "How inexpressibly sad are all holidays." And a year after the incident, he wrote this, "I can make no record of these days, but I leave them wrapped in silence. Perhaps someday God will give me peace." In 1862, December 25th, 1862, the next Christmas, Longfellow's journal read this, "A Merry Christmas, say the children, but that is no more for me." A very peaceless, hopeless situation for this man who wrote such a beautiful Christmas carol. The next year in 1863, Longfellow's oldest son, Charles, was badly injured when he was shot, took a bullet to the leg in the war, and his journal was silent for that Christmas. But the next Christmas in 1864, suddenly and for some reason, maybe because he could sense the end of the Civil War coming, Longfellow's spirit seems to be lifted when he pins the words to these songs, to this hymn, this poem on which the hymn is based, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." And the poem itself is named "Christmas Bells," and I'm going to read you the entirety because the way that we have it arranged in our hymnals, the verses are a little bit out of order and some of them are stated in a little bit of a different way. But listen to what Longfellow has to say. Again, the name of the poem is actually "Christmas Bells." "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play. And wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. and thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed mouth, a cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound, the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the houses born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Maybe you're struggling through a situation that may or may not be similar to what Wadsworth Longfellow dealt with. But perhaps you found yourself in a similar situation of discontent, a lack of peace in your soul, where you find in this time of year that that lack of peace is highlighted, intensified, because everybody else around you seems to be so happy, right? But your peace is fleeting. And maybe you can understand what it says, that hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. There was something that happened in 1864, something that became of Wadsworth Longfellow that touched his soul in such a way that he penned these words. No, this is not the case. There's something different. Something has happened. The bells are pealing more loud and deep this year. They sound differently than they ever had. Why? Because God is not dead and he's not asleep. He's here and he's among us. The wrong shall fail and the right shall prevail. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace is found in the Christmas story. It's found in the name of Jesus that we gain from the Christmas story. That name, Emmanuel. And the name Emmanuel simply means God with us. And peace is found in that statement. This is what we can see in the Advent story. Why do we have peace? Because God is with us. God is beside us. God is inside of us as believers. We know that he indwells our spirit. Read the book of Romans. Read what Paul has to say about the indwelling of the Spirit of Jesus inside of us. Jesus is within us. Jesus is around us. Jesus is in our midst. Jesus is in those people we love and call our brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus is with us. God is with us. Therefore, there is room for peace. And so no matter how badly the chaos in our lives wants to squelch, wants to remove the presence of the Lord, no matter how strong and loud the shout around us becomes that God is dead, the wrong will win, the right will lose, no matter how loud and how passionate that cry gets from the world, we can remind ourselves consistently that Jesus is proof that God loves us, that the sovereign God of the universe descended from the heavenly places and came down to live in our flesh so that he might save us. And we can be reminded, don't be afraid. I have good news. Jesus is coming. God is with us. In the Nativity, Jesus tells us, don't be afraid. I'm here. That's the beauty of the Christmas story. Earlier this week, when I dropped Corbin off at CDO on Tuesday, I don't know if he was, or maybe it was Thursday, I can't remember. Like I told you, days run together when you get busy, right? It was Tuesday or Thursday, one of those days. I dropped Corbin off at CDO, and he had slept really long, and I had to wake him up. Sometimes he wakes up on his own, but he did not that morning, and he was not in the mood to go to school. That's what he calls it when he goes to CDO. And I asked him, and he already sounded like a teenager when I asked him if he was ready to go to school. Daddy, I don't want to go to school, he told me over and over again. And when I got him there that day and I dropped him off with Shelby Stott, his teacher, he didn't want to go. And it was the first time ever that he kind of grabbed my leg and wouldn't let go. And I felt proud to be a dad in that moment, right? But at the same time, I was a little bothered by the fact that he wouldn't go. And, you know, be on your own, be independent. I know you're just 2.5 years old, but go ahead and make the world for yourself. You know, do that sort of thing. And I was telling Cheryl about it that evening over supper. I was telling him that Corbin didn't want to let go. And she turned to him while he was eating. And he's sitting in a big boy chair now, so he's all proud of that. She turned to him while he was eating, and she said, why were you sad this morning when Daddy dropped you off at school? And he said, and I'm going to give him anything he wants for Christmas because he said this. He said, I wanted my daddy. That was it, right? High five. You know, I'm the man, right? I could have done anything in that moment. I could have gone out and boxed Mike Tyson and at least felt good about it for a few moments before I got punched out and my ear bitten off. But it would have been a fun experience, or at least I would have been confident in that moment. It was a great moment for me as a father, but isn't that all it takes for a 2.5-year-old? To just realize daddy or mommy is there? Like, I remember feeling that way as a child when I was upset. If I could just find my mom or my dad, everything was fine. Whatever it was that was causing me discontent, I wouldn't have called it that then, but causing me to be afraid would have disappeared in that moment. And with Corbin, sometimes we just pick him up after he's hurt himself, or if he's afraid of the dark, or if he's got something else that's bothering him, if there's a stranger he doesn't know and he wants to get away from, and we pick him up and we say, it's okay. Daddy's here. This is what Jesus does in the Christmas story. To a world full of chaos and discontent and fear, he reminds each and every single one of us, it's okay. Don't be afraid. I'm here. Jesus is in our midst. There is no other story in all of the world of religion or philosophy or anywhere else in the world that tells about a God who came for us, who came to us, to suffer with us, to die for us, and to be resurrected so that we might live with him forever. There is no other story of a God who is with us, other than the Emmanuel, Jesus Christ. And so in a world full of chaos and busyness and just problems seemingly all around you, both worldly and even personal, when you hear that refrain this Christmas season, peace on earth, goodwill to men, instead of rolling your eyes thinking, that cynical response that we have, there's no peace. Are you kidding me? Have you watched the news? Remember this, God is with us. Emmanuel, it's okay. I have good news. You don't have to be afraid. Jesus is coming. Jesus is here. During our time of invitation this morning, if there are any of you who have never experienced the salvation of Jesus Christ and you would like to, I would love to show you how this morning. Come down and pray during our time of invitation. I can lead you in that direction. Look me up after the service and we can pray about it as well. For those of you who do know Jesus, the Prince of Peace, maybe you felt like his kingship when it comes to peace in your life is a little bit less than what it should be. Maybe you feel chaos. Maybe you feel things pressing in around you. Maybe you feel anything but peace. I hope that you can focus in on the King of Peace, the Prince of Peace this morning, and allow him to remind you that the only thing that matters in a chaotic world is that he is with us. If there's any moment of chaos that you need to pray through, anything that you're worried about, that you would like to pray about, have me pray for you about, or anybody, come down and I'll pray for you during our time of invitation. The altar is open if you would like to seek God's face there, or you can do it in your pew. Look me up after the service if you need to talk, whatever it is that you need to do. God is with us. That's why we have peace. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray. Bill's going to lead us. And you move in whatever way God is calling during this time of invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning. God, again, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. God, we thank you for peace. Peace that your word tells us transcends all understanding. It doesn't make sense in our world. But peace that comes simply from knowing that you, our God, are with us through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, speak peace over this body this morning. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.